Okay, we're going to start from Amar Rav Shimi Bar Chiya. Okay, we're in the middle, a little closer to the top of Nun Tet Amud Bet. Amar Rav Shimi Bar Chiya, we're still continuing along the issue about this Nivala LeBehema. Okay, if you have sex with an animal, what happens? Yukshera the Kuna. Okay, he says Yukshera the Kuna. Tanya Namihachi, here's a brighter to support it. Nivala LeMisha Eno Ish, Apa Pisha Biskila, Kshera the Kuna. Okay, if your nivalat is someone who's not a man, okay, which seems to mean an animal, even though you might get skila for this avera, okay, you're kshera l'kuna. Okay, so again, they seem to say this isn't, right, it might be an inappropriate act, it's not something that passes you from marrying a kohen. Ki atu rav dimi, here we're going to see an alternate opinion. Ki atu rav dimi amar, ma'aseh b'ribachat, that means a woman, okay, behitlu, it was a city. I read in the notes in the Koran that it was a city in the Galil where there were a lot of Kohanim, and that's why it was very important to determine this woman's status in terms of kahuna. Shaita mechabedet et habayit. Okay, really strange story. She was sweeping the house. Ureva'a kelev kufri, a type of dog came and attacked her and had sex with her, raped her. Me'achareha. Okay, bia shelo kedarka. Yes, very unpleasant story. Bihichshira Rebbe lekahuna. And Rebbe said she's muteret for a Kohen. Okay, so what do you see here? Again, because it was Bia Shalo Kedarka, she was Muteret LeKohen. But if it had been Bia Kedarka, it wouldn't have been. That's what they're assuming, that they're telling us this story in the details specifically, but being Shalo Kedarka, to teach us that if it were Kedarka, it would be a problem. Okay, Amar Shmuel. Now, when it says Rebbe Hichshira LeKuna, we've been having this issue a little bit, which is it for a Kohen Gadol or for a regular Kohen? So Amar Shmuel, the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so he says, when Rebbe said she was Kshera LeKuna, he meant for a Kohen Gadol. Now, what's the problem with saying this? When is Rebbe living? Well, around the year 200, right? After the destruction, there were no Kohanim B'Tohim. So the Gemara asks, B'Yimei Rebbe Kohen Gadol Mihava? In other words, there was no such thing as a Kohen Gadol. So why would he say she's mutar to marry a Kohen? And la Ru'uya LeKohen Gadol. He's saying, whatever she did, right, she's so fine that it's even for Ru'uya LeKohen Gadol, were there to have been Kohanim Gadolim, but not necessarily that he was talking about actual practically.
That seems sort of obvious.
That she, what?
But he's only speaking theoretically. The whole.
No, because it could be Ru'uya LeKohen, regular Kohen. Now, that's the question. Is he talking about a regular Kohen, or is he talking even a Kohen Gadol?
If he says Kohen Gadol, it seems sort of obvious that he's only speaking theoretically because there weren't any.
Right. Well, that's what the Gemara is saying. But the whole question is, Rebbe didn't say Kohen Gadol. So the whole question is, what did Rebbe say? So the Gemara says, well, if you're going to say, like Shmuel said, that it's Kohen Gadol, it doesn't make so much sense because there were no Kohen Gadol. So you'd have to say what you're saying, which is that's the only way to explain. Amar le Rava mi praknim. Mi
parzakia.
Right, it's something else. Yeah, mi parzakia, according to the Masorah Shasti, correct? And mi parzakia. Le Rav Ashi. Okay, Rava from the city of Parzakia says to Rav Ashi, okay, he asks him a question. Minaha milta de Amar Ravanan ein znut lebehema. Okay, we talked about this yesterday, that when it comes to having sex with an animal, you're not considered a zona, and that's why also we've been saying, she sleeps with an animal, she's not pasul to a regular kohen, because she's not considered a zona. So how do we know that? Dichtiv lo tavi etnon zona umekhir kelef. Okay, what's this pasuk? Do you remember this pasuk in the Torah? It means that you can't take an animal that was used to purchase, okay, like let's say you're a prostitute and you took, someone paid you an animal for your prostitution and you want to now bring that animal as a sacrifice. Can't do that, okay? You also can't, you're looking at me, you've never heard this pasuk, huh? No? Okay. You also, this is even stranger, that's really not so strange, right? That makes sense because it was something that was, you know, coming from tum'ah, to bring it as a korban is not appropriate. The next thing is mechir kelev. You can't, if you sell your animal you sell your dog for an animal, okay, you trade your dog for a sheep, and you want to now bring that sheep to the Beit HaMikdash, you can't do that because a dog was considered like a low, you know, tame animal. Okay, I'm not sure why Kelev has such a bad rap, but it does. Okay, Utnan. Now, the Pasuk, I want you to just look inside for a minute. I brought the Pasuk. It's down under the first chart, like four lines below that. Vayim Kafgimel Pasuk Yutet. Lo tavi etnan zona mechir kelev beit Hashem Elokecha lechol neder ki toavat Hashem Elokecha gam shnehem. Now they're going to darsh in this part, which obviously doesn't need to be in the pasuk, right? The gam shnehem. Why does it have to say both of them? So now what they're going to say is that what's true about the zona and what's true about the kelev is only true about each of them. But you can't flip it. You can't say etnan kelev and mechir zona. Okay, what would that be? If you were to sell a prostitute to be a slave, so you had a slave prostitute and you sold her to someone for an animal, right? They bought a prostitute not for prostitution purposes, but as a slave. That wouldn't be usher. It wouldn't be forbidden for you to, just because she happens to be a prostitute doesn't mean you can't buy her as a slave. And the flip side with the kelef. Now here there's a few different opinions about what's an etnan kelef. Okay, either you pay an animal, right? You buy with your animal, right? You sell your animal for prostitution with someone's dog. Okay, like the dog is like the prostitute, right? In other words, you say, I want to have sex with your dog, I'll pay you money so I can have sex with your dog. Yeah, hard to understand. Or there was another interpretation that it's you're paying to have the dog have sex with someone. In other words, not with you. You're paying, I think, the dog to have sex with someone. Anyway, however you would see prostitution with a dog, okay, they're going to say that's not asur. Utnan etnan kelev umachir zona mutarim. Shneamar gam shnehem, shnayim velo arba'a. What do you see from here? That prostitution with a dog is not considered, right? Sleeping with a dog is not considered znut. Okay, that's the whole thing. That etnan zona you can't apply to a dog. If you apply it to a dog, there's no iser. Okay, so what do you see? That's not considered that you were mazneh, that it was znut. Okay, it might be wrong, there might be problems with it, but it's not prostitution. If it were prostitution, then it would be forbidden, just like the prostitute is forbidden, and using a dog as a prostitute would also be forbidden. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. Now we're moving on. Now we're getting into this issue that we all found somewhat difficult, that if a Kohen himself rapes a woman or seduces a woman, right, he can't marry her. Okay, remember that? Because now a Kohen's not allowed to marry someone who is raped. And if he himself raped her, then at the time of marriage, she's considered a raped woman and he can't marry her. So now the Gemara is going to say, okay, the Braita says, Anusat atzmo umifutat atzmo, that means if he himself raped her or seduced her, lo yisa vim nasa nasoy. Okay, now I just want to give you some background. You might know this already, but give you some background to rape and seduction in the Torah. Seduction means she agreed to it. Ones is she didn't agree. It was forced. In a rape case, the man who raped has to pay money and he's supposed to marry her, right? Now, if she doesn't want to marry him, she doesn't have to, for all those who are horrified by the fact that she's going to marry her rapist. But again, we talked about this, that she wants, right, she's now got a serious pagam on her, right? She's not considered what's the word? I can't think of it. The word's eluding me. A woman who people want to marry. The opposite. Eligible. She's not right. She's not very eligible now. People aren't going to really want to marry her. So now, that's an onus. An onus case, he has to pay, and he's supposed to marry her, right? He pays her family. In a mefuta case, he either marries her. If he doesn't marry her, then he pays. But he doesn't pay and marry her. Okay, that's important to understand before we, right? If he marries her, he's patur from the knas, the fine that he supposedly has to pay. So now, what does it say here? Lo yisa v'im nasa nasoy. But if he married her, he already did it, and it's considered a good marriage. Anusat chavero umifutat chavero. What if it was someone else raped her or someone else seduced her? Lo yisa v'im nasa. And if he does marry her, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer havlad halal v'chachamim omerim havlad kasher. Is she considered a halala if she marries him? In which case her kids will be halalim, or is she not? So now we're going to leave the second case for a little bit. First, we're going to deal with the first case. Okay, so again, he rapes her and then he marries her. Im nasa nasoy.
So they don't talk about whether their kids are halalim.
Right, they don't talk about it. Am rav huna am rav umotzi beget. He has to divorce her. Okay? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ela hazik katane im nasa nasoy. Doesn't it say im nasa nasoy? Doesn't that seem to indicate that they can stay married? Am rav acha bar Yaakov lomar she'em shalem knas b'mefuteh. No, im nasa nasoy means that it was a good marriage, but you have to get divorced. In other words, you can't stay married, so then what does it mean it was a good marriage? What's the point of saying it was a good marriage? It means that you don't have to pay, what did I say about mefuta? You either have to marry her or you have to pay the knas. In this case, he married her. Now, it's true, he's not allowed to and he's supposed to get divorced, but he doesn't have to pay the knas because he already married her. So the marriage is considered good for the purposes of this fine. You don't have to pay the fine, and obviously it's only been mefuta because an ones has to pay the fine no matter what, whether he marries her or not. But for the mefuta, that's what it means, im nasa nasoy. Okay, if he seduced her and he married her, now he doesn't have to pay the knas, but he does have to divorce her. Azarav gavia mi beiktil. Amar Shmate Kamed Rav Ashi. So now Rav Gavia from the city of Ketil, from Beit Ketil, comes and says this limud of Rav, Huna in the name of Rav, that he has to divorce her. He says this in front of Rav Ashi. Amar Le, V'ha Rav Rabbi Yochanan Damar Chavayu, Bogeret Umukat Eitz Lo Yisa, V'im Nasa Nasui. Doesn't it also say by a Bogeret and a Mukat Eitz? What's the case with these people, right? He's supposed to marry a young girl, right? The Kohen Gadol. Or someone who doesn't, right, whose hymen isn't torn. Let's say, this is about the Kohen Gadol now that we're talking about. So is it all about the Kohen Gadol? No. I think it's really about Kohanim. It's a good question. I think my sense is that this is just about Kohanim in general. I don't think, but now we're jumping. There's a lot of ping-ponging back and forth between Kohen and Kohen Gadol.
Here it's Kohen Gadol.
It's only Kohen Gadol?
Yeah.
What, with the Im Nasan Asui, the Anusat?
Ah. Another teaching that pertains to the question of which women are eligible to, for marriage to a Kohen Gadol.
Okay.
That's a Nasana.
Okay, so fine. So then it's Kohen Gadol. Okay, so we'll have to assume it's time about Kohen Gadol. Right, Rashi says it. Lo yisa Kohen Gadol d'chti betula yikach. Okay, fine. It's just a Kohen Gadol. So now, in the case of a Bogeret and a Mukat Eitz, he can't marry her. And what does it say? V'im nasa nasui. Now, what's the situation here? Do you think he has to divorce this woman if he marries someone who's a Bogeret, or he marries someone who's whose timon is torn? If he already married her, obviously he wouldn't have to divorce her. Why? Alma sofaliot Bogeret tachtav, sofaliot Mukat Eitz tachtav, right? If you are, he's supposed to marry someone young. He ends up, he doesn't marry this perfect virgin because she's not totally young, right? We discussed this yesterday. Then, or he marries someone whose hymen was torn from an accident. Now, once he marries her, the assumption is he had sex with her, right? Once he has sex with her, the assumption is right now, anyway, her hymen would have been torn at this point, okay? Or, let's say 6 months pass, anyway, she was going to grow up, right? He's not supposed to stay married to a 12-year-old, right?
And yeah.
It's not possible. So, in any case, those things were going to have changed, right, in her. And therefore, obviously, we don't make him divorce her. So when it says, im nasa nasui there, it must mean, and he stays married to her, and there's no reason to divorce her. So now you could say the same thing here. Hachanami, in the case where he raped her, so now in the end he married someone who he had had sex with previously, right? But in the end, he was going to anyway have had sex with her, so why would he now need to divorce her just because he raped her previously? That's what he's saying. He's asking a question on this halacha. He's saying, I don't understand the logic here, because hachanami, but in our case also, sofali yopu la tachtav. This is what some of us asked also yesterday, which is, I don't understand. If he raped her, so, right, the whole idea is maybe that she shouldn't be having sex with someone else, but she had sex with him, so it's true she was raped, or, right, it was before marriage, but in the end, what's supposed to happen? In the end, she's going to have had sex with him. So once he already marries her, then he shouldn't necessarily need to divorce her. So the Gemara answers Kashya. This is difficult. Now, the one thing you could... Now, Kashya usually means, if it says Tiyuvta in the Gemara, it means Tiyuvta, we have a serious problem, and we're saying this opinion is very problematic. Kashya just means we have a question, and really you can find answers for the questions of Kashya generally. Here I think there's a difference between a Mukat Eitz and a Bogeret, versus someone who's been raped. In other words, rape has a stigma, whether it was raped by him or whether it was raped by someone else or someone who, you know, was mifute, he seduced her and she ended up willingly, but still there's a stigma on a person like that. And even though the stigma came from him, it's still a stigma. And when you're talking about the Kohen Gadol, you know, not appropriate for the Kohen Gadol to marry this kind of person.
Why can't just Bia? Like, why can't you just say he...
Because Bia is only for the... When you do it for the sake of... Kiddushin.
So you have to have it in mind.
You have to have it in mind that you're doing it for the sake of marrying.
Kiddushin is not toxin if it's against your will. And it's only against
Right. That's also true. Right. Kiddushin aren't toxin also if she's unwilling. So the mafute you could say, but not the onus case. Right. But again, you can only, if you have premarital sex, the assumption is you're not marrying because you have premarital sex, you have to say, just like if someone gives you a ring, you're not married, only if you say, Hare amikudesha li be tabadzu, or Hare amikudesha li be. So then you'd be married. But if you just have premarital sex, you're not married.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'd have serious problems with anyone who. So now, anusat chavero mufutach chavero lo yisa. We're going to see, by the way, a lot of situations stated where they're just going to end with kasha. In other words, they're going to raise questions and not have answers. Anusat chaviro mufutach chaviro lo yisa v'im nasa. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer havlal chalav. Chachamim omerim havlal kasher. Okay, this was our next machloket. I'm Rav Huna, I'm a Rav. Again, Rav Huna has something to say in the name of Rav about this. Halacha k'Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. V'chein am Rav Gidol am a Rav. Halacha k'Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. That we treat this child as a chalal. Ika de Amre, there are those who say, I'm Rav Huna, I'm a Rav, that he didn't say halacha k'Rav Elezer ben Yaakov, but this is what he said. My time at Rav Elezer ben Yaakov, savra la k'Rabbi Elazar. Okay, why did Rav Elezer ben Yaakov say this? Because he held like Rabbi Elazar. Remember what Rabbi Elazar said yesterday? I brought it up here in case you don't remember. That, where is it? Where did I go? My sheet. We're up to here. Okay? The Girsa Cheret toward the bottom. That Panoi Habala Pnuya L'Shem Ishut Asa Azona. Right? If you, Shalom L'Shem Ishut. If you have premarital sex, you're considered a Zona. Okay? Even if you're not married, right? It wasn't a forbidden relationship, but it was premarital sex out of marriage. So now you'd be considered a zonah, in which case, right, if she's a mifutat chavero or an usat chavero, right, what do we say then? That she, this child is a halal because she's a zonah, now she married a kohen, that makes the child a halal. Okay, so there's a machloket about whether you're considered a zonah or not. If you're considered a zonah, then your child's a halal. If you're not considered a zonah, then your child's not a halal. Okay? So now they're going to ask a question on this. Could Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov really have held like Rabbi Elazar? Why do we think that that's a problem? That means that the things that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said were very, a kav is a small measurement. They were small. He didn't say a lot of things, but what he said was naki, meaning whatever he said, we hold like, okay? Right? And more ma'af, he said very little, but whatever he said, that's what we do. So now, if that's the case, what's the problem still? V'ilu baha amarav amram. Okay, most people take out the words amarav. Ein halacha ki Rabbi Elazar. Okay, Rav Amram said that we don't hold like Rabbi Elazar. We don't call a woman who had premarital sex a zona. In which case, we can't say that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov held like Rabbi Elazar, and that was his position. Because he must have said, had a different reason for calling this child a halal, and not because of Rabbi Elazar, because we don't hold like Rabbi Elazar, or at least not everybody did. And what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said was kavanaki, meaning we hold like him, and therefore it can't be that he held like Rabbi Elazar. So now we don't understand, right? And then they're going to say kashya, so this is difficult, okay? The statement of Rav saying that that he held like Rabbi Elazar is a difficult statement, okay? What's interesting is the Gemara doesn't... All right, now we're going to hear a different explanation. Okay, what's the machloka between them? Rav Ashi Amar, b'yesh halal michai ve'ase kamiflege. Their machloka is, can you become a halal from a chai ve'ase? What's a chai ve'ase? Remember we learned this before? If you don't do a mitzvah ase, if you do, you're over on a low tase, so then we could say you could be, right, that's a lav. But what about a lav that we learn out from an ase? Okay, so let's read. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov savra yesh chalal michai ve'aseh. Rabbanan savra ein chalal michai ve'aseh. Okay, so Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov will hold there is a chalal michai ve'aseh, and Chachamim will hold there's no chalal michai ve'aseh. Now we're going to see what's the chiyuv aseh here. My time at Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, dechtiv almana ugrusha v'chalala zona et ele lo yikach ki im bitula. Okay, so it says you can't marry an almana, a grusha, chalala, zona. Okay, the Kohen Gadol, he has to marry, here's the ase, ki'im bitula. Uchtiv v'lo yichalel zar'o ba'amav. Then it says at the end of the pasuk, and you can't be mechalel his zera. Okay? So now the assumption is that v'lo yichalel refers to the entire pasuk, not just the ase of ki'im bitula, but it also goes back to the lo tase of all the people he can't marry. V'rabanan, ele hifsik ha'inyan. Okay, look at the pasuk again, okay? It says, amona ugrusha v'chalala zona et ele lo yikach. Ele splits up the pasuk, right? There's two parts to this pasuk. Et ele lo yikach. And then it says, ki im bitula me'amav yikach isha. So there's a lo tase and there's an ase. So comes Rabbanan and he says, ele makes a break. What does that mean? That if you do the amana gusha halala zona, then you become a halal. But if you just don't marry a bitula, that doesn't make your child a halal. Okay, you follow? There's right. There's the categories of the problematic ones, and then there's just saying you have to marry a bitula. So if she happens not to be a bitula, you're not over on an ase, in which case You're not, your kids aren't a halal. And you're only over on an aseh. And Rabbanan say, Eila comes to say, these are halalim, but that one's not. It's a little weird because the part about the halal comes in the second part of the pasuk, right at the end. But they say that that really refers only to the first part. And the word Eila splits the pasuk. So now they're going to have to say, well, what does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov do about Eila? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, right, are we here? No, I skipped. Eilef sikan yam. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov amar Eila lemeute nida. Okay, what does Eila come to say? That if he sleeps with a nida, right? Nida is also a forbidden relationship. So you might have thought that if a Kohen Gadol sleeps with his wife when she's a nida, his kids will be a halal. And they say no. Eila, right? Only these, et Eila lo yikach. Okay, but if you were to sleep with only these, caused your kid to be a halal. If you were to sleep with his wife when he's a nida, yes, he's chayav karet, because anyone's chayav karet if they sleep with their wife a nida, but it doesn't make your children halalim. Okay, so now, keman azla, Haditanya me'ela ta'u sechala v'iya ta'u sechala minida. Who does that hold like? Kiman, Kerabi Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, so they're saying the... Right. This is just saying, okay, so now there's a brayta that says, me'ela ta'u sechala v'iya ta'u sechala minida. That must be like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov who darshins the word ela to be me'ma'eth nida. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, according to him, nichtebe le'ela le'vasof. If it really refers to everything, it should have said Eila at the end, not to split the pasuk. And now the Gemara ends, you're right, Kasha. This is a kushia on him. We don't have a great answer. Why didn't Eila appear at the end to say this refers to everything? And why is Eila splitting the lo, tase, and the ase, right? According to Chachamim, it's very simple. Eila is in the middle to say there's a different halacha for the lo tases and the ases, that only they become halalim and not them. But, right, but Rabbi... Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, Eila comes to say and not Anida, but then it doesn't make sense that the Eila is in the middle of the pasuk. It really should just come at the end because it has nothing to do with exactly its placement. And they say, you're right, it's a difficulty. We don't have a good answer. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, Achoto Arusa, Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda Omrim, Mitamela. Okay, now we're going to switch topics. Now we're not talking about a Kohen Gadol and who he can marry and who he can't marry. Now we're going to the pasuk about... Okay, my least favorite pasuk. I'm a bat kohen, so, and I have only brothers. So the pasuk says that a kohen can only be mitame to his sister who's a betula. Okay, I'll read you the pasuk. Ula achoto habetula akrova elav, not just his sister who's a betula, right? Asher lo haita leish la itama. Again, we have this issue of she's a betula, and the Torah also tells us asher lo haita leish, right? Which seems to, right? It's again, we're going to have to understand who's this betula, what kind of a betula can a kohen not be mitame to? Okay, once your sister gets married, basically, if you're a kohen, you're not allowed to be mitame la once she dies, right? The kohen has seven people he's allowed to be mitame to, and one of them is his sister, but only when she's still a betula. Okay, so now, achoto arusa. What if she's arusa? Okay, but she's not married yet, right? She's engaged. Rabbi Meir for Rabbi Yehuda omrim mitame la. Okay, they say you can be mitame la. Rabbi Yosef for Rabbi Shimon omrim. Ein metamila, you can't be. Anusa umifuta, what if she was raped or seduced? Divrei kol ein metamila. Okay, everybody agrees in that case. Okay, I charted this all out. I see by accident my first line of the chart got on the wrong page. So Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda really should be at the top there. Okay, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda on one side, and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon on the other side. Okay, so if she's arusa, then metamila. Okay, according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, if according to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi, ein metamila. Anusa mufuta, everyone agrees ein metamila because she's clearly not a betula anymore, right? So if she's raped or seduced, clearly he's not going to be metamila. Umukat eitz, ein metamila divrei Rabbi Shimon. Only Rabbi Shimon thinks that a mukat eitz, he can't be metamila, okay? If her hymen was torn by an accident, then he can't be metamila. She'ein ru'uya lekohen gadol. Okay? He says, Shaya Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ruya Lekohen Gadol Metamela, She'ein Ruya Lekohen Gadol, Ein Metamela. He says that the criteria for what's a betula when it comes to a Kohen Gadol, I'm sorry, what's a betula for what comes for a Kohen being Metame to his sister, are going to be the same criteria for a betula with a Kohen Gadol, okay? Which seems to be a reasonable assumption, right? If we have the overall topic of Kahuna, and then we have a betula mentioned in both these cases, One, for who a regular kohen can be metame to, and two, for who a kohen gadol is allowed to marry. The assumption is going to be, at least according to some people, that it's the same betula. That's going to be part of our discussion here.
Tamela, for what purposes? If she dies.
Yeah. I didn't explain. It means if this woman were to die after she's already not a betula, again, depending on which criteria we use, then he can't come to her funeral, basically, right? He can't go to the burial, okay? Right, it's a difficult halacha. Right, it's a difficult halacha. It's very difficult.
That she's not a betula, her husband would take care of it. But in these cases,
there's
nobody to take care of the funeral.
Exactly. It's difficult. It's very difficult. There's no one, right? And the point is that once she's a betula, even if her husband dies, even if, right, forget about these unique cases, but obviously what it means is once she's married, that's it, right? So the hope is, right, she has kids or he has brothers. Someone will take care of, like, from her husband's family. She basically, what's the idea? She leaves. It's the same way she can't eat truma, right? She leaves her father's house. The difference with truma is when her husband dies, she goes back to her father's house. In this issue, she never goes back.
Only if she doesn't have children, right? She can't eat truma.
Right, only if she doesn't have children. Right, right. Is that true? I guess she can't go back to her father's house if she has children, right? I guess the idea being, the real idea being is that she now belongs to her husband's household and they're in charge of her and she's no longer taken care of by her family. Right, so that's why it's particularly difficult.
Well, she probably, okay? Her family probably takes care of her funeral.
Who?
Whose family? Her Kohen family can't take care of her because they can't be mitamela. That's the whole idea. Okay, so particularly if she's a mukat eitz, right? It's really difficult. So, right, or raped. Okay, well, rape again, you have to assume, hopefully, that the rapist is going to take care of her. Now, he might not.
And if he's such a good guy.
No, not because the Torah says he's supposed to marry her. Right, that's true also. Then you're also really in trouble. It's difficult. It's a very difficult. It's also very difficult, I think, all these Kohen issues. They're hard for us to understand because we don't put Kohanim in a really different category. Like, their society obviously was somewhat different, right? And they had these hierarchies of who's who and what's what, and right? And we might have certain hierarchies in our society, but they're certainly not defined by the same rules that these hierarchies were defined by. So
it also might have been medical or health reason. You can't believe it's just shot. It's just too cool.
What could be medical?
Like, maybe this whole tummy thing was very, very strict because of their belief system at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It must be.
Maybe, right. Maybe they had some other understanding of tumah.
Yeah.
Right. Although, again, if she's a betula, he can be metamela. So it seems weird why they would make the cutoff.
If she was a betula, she didn't have germs.
Ah, I see. That's interesting. If there was a certain status to a betula, that the tumah wasn't the same type of tumah that it would be if she were already married. Interesting. Okay. So anyway, there's certain things we have to say we just don't understand, right? That this is something that I think is hard for us to understand exactly what the intent was. Because our society is very different and we don't have the same perceptions they did then. So now, my time, and now we're going to explain, okay, and here I made a chart of all the drashot, how they're going to darshan this pasuk, okay? The pasuk is like this, right? La'achoto ha-betula ha-krova elav asher lo haita le'ish la'itama. Okay, then, okay, so they're going to darshan the first part of that pasuk. La'achoto ha-betula is number one. Asher lo haita le'ish is number two, right? You see there's a lot of redundancy here. Ha-krova is number three, and elav. We're going to darshan all those different things in different ways. My time at Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Yehuda, didar shehachi, ula choto betula. That means prat lanusa mufuta. Okay, meaning that an anusa mufuta, he can't be metamela, right? In other words, she has to be a betula, not if she was raped or seduced. Yachol shani motziach mukat etz. You might have thought, well, then she's not a betula if she's a mukat etz. Tamud lamar asher lo haita leish, misha havayata al yedei ish. Okay, that's where they learn it from. That's the thing that turns her into a non-betula. But if it happened by accident, wouldn't be a problem. Again, this is obviously the first opinion, not the second opinion. Who's going to disagree? We'll have to see what they base it on. Hakrova, what does it mean? Hakrova, that she's close to him. Lirabota arusa, because that includes the arusa, that he can still be metame to the arusa, according to their opinion, right? You can always look back at the chart. They're the first section on the chart. Mitame ta achoto arusa. Why? Because she's still living in the household. So she's still krova elav. Remember, only after the marriage did she go to the father's, to the husband's house. Okay. Elav. Now, what's ha krova elav? Why does it have to say elav to him? Lirabo ta bogeret. Okay, that just includes, the point is, a lav includes another case, and what would that be? A bogeret. Because if you're going to say, right, like Rabbi Shimon said, it's the same as the Kohen Gadol, but even Rabbi Shimon doesn't agree it's the same to the extent that a bogeret. Once she's older, right, and she's not considered the perfect betula, right, what do we say? The real ideal betula is young, okay? But even so, since it says a lav, it includes another case of someone he can be metame to, and that's a bogeret. So let's say she's 14, and she's still a betula, then he can still be metame la. So now they say, ha lama likra, v'hamar, and it's, what do you need a pasuk for the bogeret case? Okay? V'ha'amar Rabbi Meir, doesn't Rabbi Meir himself say bitula? Afilu miktsat bitula mashma. If you remember yesterday, what did we say? There was bitula, bituleha, bivtuleha. Mm-hmm. So we said bitula itself, if you have it just on its own, according to Rabbi Meir, how did he understand it? Even if she's a little bit of a bitula, right? Even if she's a bogeret. Then he was mima'ev, right? Then he said, then bivtuleha, right, comes to exclude that case. But first, he said the bitula, plain bitula, would mean even if she's just somewhat of a bitula. So now, what does our pasuk say? It doesn't say bituleha. It doesn't say bivtula. It just says bitula. So a bitula, according to Rabbi Meir, the pshat is that it's even a bogeret. So now they say, no, you need the drasha anyway. Why? Itzrich. Salkadat hachamina neilach bitula bitula mehatam. Mala hala na'ara afka nami na'ara. You might have thought that even though it says bitula, we'd still learn it from the case of the Kohen Gadol, where even though, right, the remember what happened here. He said the word bitula seems to imply even if she's a bogeret, right? Miksat bituleha. Then bituleha came to teach you that she has to be a na'ara. Right? So our pasuk only says bitula. So if our pasuk only said bitula, you might have thought it means bogeret, like he said the mashma'ut of the word bitula. Then they say, no, because by Kohen Gadol, it had the word bituleha to teach us that it has to be a na'ara, or a ktana. Therefore, you might have thought the same halachot would apply here, even though it says bitula, right? So therefore, they come and say, no, it doesn't. That's why we need to teach us, even a bogeret is allowed to be, he's allowed to be metame to a bogeret.
He is then?
He is. Everyone agrees that he is. Okay? And now we're explaining Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. For Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, my ta'amahu. So now we're going to get to them. Okay? Again, you can follow in the chart and see what they do with each pasuk compared to the first case. Okay? We don't have time to look at each one, but if you look at the chart, you'll be able to compare who does what with what, which section of the pasuk. My ta'amahu, Dar Shehachi. Why did they say this? What they said. Ula achoto habtula pra. Now he's going to add. La'anusa mefuted, just like the first guy, and umukaretz. Okay, he's adding, right? Achuto betula comes to mean she has to be a virgin. She has to have her hymen intact. So even if she had an accident, that would be included in this list of not a betula. Asher lo haita. So then, what do you do with asher lo haita leish? Right, which the first case said that means the mukaretz is allowed. So now pra la'arusa. That means she hasn't yet gotten married, right? So that would exclude the Arusa case. So the Arusa hasn't yet been with a man. Hakrova. So now, right, the last one, the first guy said, Hakrova is l'rabot Arusa. So he's already learning it from the first part, the earlier part. So now what does he do with that? Hakrova l'rabot Arusa shenitgarsha. If she gets divorced from being engaged, then she would also be allowed, because she'd be krova ilav. Again, she'd go back to the house. A lav, or she'd never have left the house. A lav, lerabot et habogeret. Okay, a lav now comes to include the bogeret, just like the first guy said. Okay, now hakrova lerabot arusa shenitgarsha. Okay, v'hamar Rabbi Shimon. So now we're going to ask two questions. Okay, on this, or maybe more than two. Okay, but let's see. So first, they're going to ask on hakrova lerabot arusa shenitgarsha. V'hamar Rabbi Shimon ruya lekohen gadol mitamela. She'em ruya l'kohen gadol e'm mitamela. Right? So how could this arusa shenitgarsha be mutar to him? Didn't Rabbi Shimon say that whatever is usher to the kohen gadol is also usher to him? And arusa shenitgarsha would be usher to the kohen gadol. So now the answer, shanei hatam de rabbi rachmana krova. In other words, while it's true that in general Rabbi Shimon holds whatever's true for one is true for the other, but because it added the word krova, it came to say, but it's different in this one regard. Okay? So that if she's an arusa shenitgarsha, she'd be allowed to, the brother would be allowed to be metame, but the Kohen Gadol can't be. Why can't the Kohen Gadol? Because she's a grusha. Right? The Kohen Gadol can't marry a grusha. Ihachi, if that's the case, then mukaretz nami rabbe. right? That if you're going to say that, that he makes these distinctions, right? That there's, if there's a drasha, then you can learn it. So we could also say, well, there's a drasha by Mukat Eitz. And maybe also it should have been included, even though the Kohen Gadol can't marry her. So now they say, like they did yesterday, krova achat velo shtayim. In other words, we can only darshan one exception and not two exceptions. So again, umara ita. So why do darshan dafka to include the grusha, arusa shenit garsha, and not the mukat eitz? Hait abiba maase, halo it abiba maase. When it comes to the gerushin, nothing happened to the woman physically, right? But in Mukat Eitz, something physical happened to her. And that's why she's excluded, but the Arusa Shenit Garsha is included. Rabbi Yossi, Midashavke Labar Zugei, Michal de Mukat Eitz Rabbi Meir Sfirale. What does this mean? If you notice in the chart, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi, it was a little hard to chart this out. On one side of the chart, you have Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. On the other side of the chart, you have Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. Except for which case? The Mukat Eitz. The Mukat Eitz case, it just says that Rabbi Shimon said Emetamila, which seems to imply that Rabbi Yossi would agree with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda on this one about the Mukat Eitz. Okay, again, saying that what? The Mukat Eitz, he's allowed to be Metame to the Mukat Eitz. So that's what it means here. Midashavke, from the fact that he left his barzug, okay, his barzuge, his partner, right, Rabbi Shimon, Michlal de Mukat Eitz, Rabbi Meir Sirele, it must be he holds like him. Minale. So where do we get this from? So where does he darshan it from, right? Now, what's the problem? Okay? Rabbi Shimon said that lachoto betulas prat lanu sam ufutam mukat eitz, right? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda learned the mukat eitz from where? How do we know the mukat eitz is included? From asher lo aita le'ish. But Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi already used that pasuk for something else. They use it to say prat la'rusa. In other words, now you have to figure out where is Rabbi Shimon going to learn out this case of the mukat eitz. Okay, because he doesn't anymore have that pasuk free, that part of the pasuk free where they learned it from. V'ha'afikte, right? He already learned it, right? In other words, minale, mi lo aita le'ish. He can't learn it from lo aita le'ish, just like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi did, because v'ha'afikte, he already learned there for something else. Chad mi lo aita, v'cha mi le'ish. That's how they answer. What do they say? He darshins that phrase twice, because he says, asher lo aita is that she, that it's prat la rusa, and le'ish would be the mukat eitz, or maybe the reverse. I don't know, but you'd basically break it into two. You'd say asher lo haita is one, and le'ish is another. So from there, then you would darshan, according to Rabbi Yossi, you'd say one is to exclude the arusa, and one is to exclude, right, that he can be metameh the arusa, and one is to exclude the mukat eitz. He can be metameh to the mukat eitz. Okay, now we're going to go to elav l'rabot habogeret. V'ha'amar Rabbi Shimon betula, betula shlema mashma. Now we're going back to the same thing we said about Rabbi Meir. When Rabbi Shimon originally had this word betula, what did he think? Betula means betula shlema, meaning she has to be a na'ara, right? The word betula would mean she has to be a na'ara. So how could he say, if it says betula in our pasuk, that a betula means even a bogeret? Because he says the plain mashma'ut of the word betula before we started darshaning it with the betuleha, etc., but mean betula shlema. So the answer, tama didei nami hatam, there, mehacha didar, hatam mehacha, didarish hacha mide elav lerabot habogeret, michlal de betula betula shlema mashma. Sorry, I'm having trouble understanding. The mahamar rishon betula betula shlema mashma, tama didei nami. Hatam, all right, sorry. It means here, tamadi de nami hatam. And it's the same way we answered this thing before. Why? Because what did we say? Didarish hacha mi de elav l'rabot habogeret. Last time we said it's true that the plain mashma'ut of bitula is that it would include, that it would be a bogeret. But comes the word krova to teach us that it, in our case, it's an exception. So here he would say the same thing. The word elav comes to teach us that it's an exception. Okay? Tanya Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Now we're going to get to a different sugya. Okay, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, "Giyoret chutam ibat shalosh shanim v'yom achag shera lekuna." This is an incredibly relevant halacha. Okay, we have a not to paskin like him, which is unfortunate because it would save a lot of complicated cases. If a giyoret converts, what's the assumption with a giyoret? She can't marry a kohen midorabana. Okay, a giyoret can't marry a kohen because the assumption is she was a zonah. And it's, who knows, she could have slept around. We have no idea what happened in her past. So now, If she's a giyoret, and she converts, right? There's lots of people who convert from birth, right? Let's say the mother converts, and then she converts the daughter. And let's say the mother converts while she's pregnant, so she has to convert the child also when the child's born. So I think that's right, that if she's pregnant, she still needs to convert the child. I forget exactly at what point. Or if she converts after the child's born. I think even if she's pregnant, if she converts, I forget, though. So if the giyoret, if she converts, chutami bat shalosh shanim biyom echad, she's sheira to marry a kohen. Okay? Why? Shenemar, b'chol taf benashim, asher lo yadu mishkav zachar, hachayu lechem. Okay, this is in the battle with the Midianim, okay, with Pinchas and Zimri and Cosby, right, with the whole znut that was going on. So they killed all the women. Okay, we're going to see the pasuk in a minute, which says, kol hataf benash, kol, no, where's the other pasuk? Kol isha yodat ish lemishkav zachar harogu. Any woman who had sex with a man, okay, they killed. And any women, children, that didn't know Mishkav Zachar, okay, had never slept with a man, they were allowed to keep alive. Vahare Pinchasi Mahem. Right? Now, this is what happened here. They kept everyone alive, and the assumption that the Pinchas, who was the Kohen Gadol, was part of the Kila, right? So he now, well, not the Kohen Gadol, but he was a Kohen, right? Here we're just talking about a Kohen. So now what happens? Obviously, if they were allowed to keep them alive, it meant everyone could potentially marry them, right? They had all converted, and then the assumption was that they could marry them, okay? So anyone who didn't know Mishkav Zachar, so meaning that if someone couldn't potentially have had sex, meaning a girl under three, the assumption is under three, she can't have had sex. Why three is the age, yeah, is a big question. I don't know the answer. We're going to see even, it's going to get a little more complicated even about what's this assumption. Okay, but the assumption is that from the age of three, they can potentially have sex, and their sex is considered sex, and in which case, it seems like they'd be allowed if they were under three. So come to Rav Shimon bar Yochai, and he says, anyone who converted less than three is ksheira d'kuna. So now, what do Chachamim do with this pasuk? Why they keep them alive? Not so they could marry them. Rabbanan, l'avadim l'shvachot. They could use them for avadim and shvachot. So, ihachi bat shalosh shanim v'yom echad nami. If so, then, you should have been able to, even if there's shalosh shanim v'yom echad, right? Nami kidurav huna. Durav huna rami k'tiv. Okay, now, what are we going to have here? In other words, even if they're bat shalosh shanim v'yom echad, as long as they haven't had sex with someone, it should be fine. So now they're going to say it's like Rav Huna. What does Rav Huna say? Rav Huna brings two contradictory psukim here. K'tiv, kol isha yodat ish l'mishkav zachar harogu. Okay, that's the first pasuk. Now, what does that imply? That what? Ha eina yodat kaimu. If she never had sex with a man, then she'd be allowed to stay alive. Michlal, from here, what should we infer? Dehataf bein yadu bein lo yadu kaime. There it says any woman who knows, right? Woman as opposed to the children, which means that if a woman had had sex, it would be a problem. If she didn't have sex, then you didn't have to kill her. But if it was a child, it implies the children, even if they had had sex, their sex isn't really mashmauti, and they should be allowed. Okay? Uchtiv, now the contradictory pasuk is this. Bechol hataf benashim asher lo yadu mishkav zachar chayu lachem, which means hayade harogu. What's implied from this pasuk is that if they're taf, if they're children, not that they should be allowed no matter what, only if they actually haven't had sex, which seems to contradict the assumption from the first pasuk. So now, what do they answer? Heve omer beruya li ba'el katuv medaber. Okay, what does that mean? That when it comes, when you said hataf benashim asher lo yadu mishkav zachar, what's the mashmaut? That they couldn't potentially have had sex. In other words, if they could potentially have had sex. First of all, we can't, right, and this is what they're going to discuss soon. How do we know whether someone had sex or didn't have sex, right? So we're going to do an age. We're going to say an age that from this age, they're considered ru'uya liba'el. Okay, meaning if someone were to have sex with them, it would be considered sex. Okay, so now that's how you resolve the contradiction. So that's what we say here again, that bat shalosh shanim v'yom echad, you can't assume Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai will say it's okay, because assuming she didn't have sex, because once she's ru'uya liba'el, you have to consider as if she had sex. Okay? And as it's the potential for having sex. So now they're going to bring a braita that just supports that. B'kol isha yodat ish, b'ru'uya li ba'el ha-katub medaber. Ata omer b'ru'uya li ba'el o'eno nivala mamash. Maybe it means that she actually had sex. So k'shehu omer b'chol ha-taf b'nashim ha-shelo yadu mishkav zachar, heve omer b'ru'uya li ba'el ha-katub medaber. Okay? The assumption here is that they're discussing anyone who could potentially have had sex. So now they're going to say minayade. Now here's a question that I actually don't understand what the Gemara is saying here. I'll raise it and we'll leave at the end of this sugya here. Minayade. So how do you know? It seems to be that they're asking, how do you know whether, I don't know what the question is, okay? I'll raise different possibilities. How do we know that someone who's, how did they know that the girls were three? Could be one possible question. Maybe they didn't like count ages exactly. So how would they know if they turned three or not? Or how do you know if a girl, it could be that they're discussing, how do you know at what age she's Ru'yali Ba'el? Now, I don't know what makes someone, according to them, Ru'yali Ba'el, right? Could it mean that if you tear your hymen, the hymen will close up again when they're so young, and then maybe it doesn't mean that she'll be not a virgin? Or I'm not sure, okay? But they're saying now this magical thing kind of happened in order to know whether they were Ru'yim Li Ba'el or not. Remember we learned about the tzitz was this thing that Kohen Gadol wore and it had these magical powers? Kol she'panam morikot biyadua she'hi ru'yali ba'el. Kol she'ein panam morikot biyadua she'ein na ru'yali ba'el. So they all the girls passed before the Kohen Gadol, and if her face turned morikot, okay, which I'm not sure, they say sallow, and how do they translate it here? Sallow?
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what that means. It could be also they turn greenish, like from morikot, like yarok, okay? Then they knew that she had the potential to be ba'el. Kol she'ein panam morikot biyodim she'ein na ru'yali ba'el. Okay, and then Amar Rav Nachman Siman La'avera Hidrokan. We learned about this Hidrokan before. It's some sort of disease, and that was the Siman that you had done something wrong, that you had had sex when you weren't supposed to. Kayotze b'davar ataomer v'yemtu'um yoshvei gilad arba meot na'ara b'tula asher lo yad'u ish l'mishkav zachar. Same thing here, it happens. Mina yade, Amar Rav Kahana hoshivu mapi achavit shal yayin be'ula rechanodeh. B'tula em rechanodeh. Okay, it smelled. Okay, and that's why... that's how they knew whether they had had sex or not. Now, what's weird here, and this is what I want to point out, is that they're comparing two things that aren't exactly comparable. One is, can she potentially have sex? And the second case of the chavit that they, did she actually have sex? And this hidrokan also, siman lavera. So they're moving from this, that's why I find this figure very strange. They're moving from this potential to have sex to all of a sudden, and their face turns sallow, sounds like it was a negative thing. Just because you're Ru'yali Ba'el doesn't mean you did anything wrong. So it's very odd here.
So
what exactly is going on?
Assuming that all the Midianite women were there in order to
entice
and
them.
And therefore,
so anyone who was Ru'yali Ba'el was already
she was there
a
already
threat.
With
okay.
the desire or
okay. I guess that's what it is. Okay, Ru'yali Ba'el. Okay. And then you have a bigger question, which is how can they say at the age of three a woman is ready to have sex, you know, is a bigger question. But we actually paskin like this in many cases. Now, in this case, again, I'm just reminding you, if a giyoret converts from birth, she is forbidden to marry a kohen. Even though there's clearly no chashash that she was a zonah and did anything. And it's a very difficult halacha because it affects lots of people's lives.
But they have reinforced zonah at all.
Right. So that's because we don't hold like Rabbi Elazar, which is a panoi habala pnuya is not pasul lekuna. But yet a giyoret is right. So why is that? It's a good question. Why do we distinguish there between a giyoret or a regular person or premarital sex?
With other people, like we don't check whether
Right. Exactly. We don't check. Right.